Okay, so let's jump right in today. We're going to be doing a deep dive into the arrival of the CMV-22B Osprey to the Atlantic Fleet, specifically VRM-40, the Mighty Bison at Naval Station Norfolk. We've got two great sources for this deep dive. First, we have an article by Robin Laird, who's a defense analyst with, pretty high-level access. And then we also have some really great quotes from Rear Admiral Verissimo, who's the commander of Naval Air Force Atlantic.
Awesome.
So,
Sounds like a good one.
yeah, this should be pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So, Laird actually kicks off his article with a pretty interesting anecdote.
Oh.
He was talking about how 17 years ago,
Wow.
he got to land on an Osprey at Naval Station Norfolk
Okay.
during a joint exercise with the British Navy.
That's interesting because 17 years is a long time, especially in the world of military technology. Like the Osprey was still pretty new back then, and now it's like a cornerstone of the Navy's plans going forward. So,
It really shows you how much things can change, right?
it does.
So let's fast forward to today
Yeah.
with VRM-40, the Mighty Bison.
Right.
Laird paints a really vivid picture of their mission and all the challenges they faced, including a DoD-wide grounding
Oh, wow.
of Ospreys, just as they were preparing to relocate from San Diego to Norfolk.
Oh, no.
Talk about bad timing.
Seriously, how do you even plan for that? Like, that's got to be a huge blow to the morale and the readiness of the whole squadron.
It really is. But the thing is, instead of letting the setback completely derail them,
Okay.
VRM-40 turned it into an advantage.
Interesting. How do they do that?
So the pilots all honed their skills in simulators,
Smart.
and the maintenance crews went above and beyond. They collaborated with Bell in Fort Worth for additional training.
Wow, that's really impressive.
It is, and it really shows you the dedication and leadership of the people involved.
Yeah.
You know, they could have easily just gotten demoralized, but instead they adapted and improved.
Right. Laird actually talks about that a lot in his article, the importance of being flexible and resilient in a world that's constantly changing.
Yeah, that's a great point.
And it's something we see over and over again in the military, right?
Absolutely. So, speaking of adapting, let's talk about the Osprey's main mission,
Okay.
which is replacing the aging C-2A Greyhound in the carrier resupply mission.
Right, the Greyhound.
So, what advantages does the Osprey bring to this role?
Well, for starters, the Osprey has way more range than the Greyhound, thanks to its increased fuel capacity.
Oh, okay.
So that means it can cover more ground and reach further out into the ocean,
Yeah.
delivering supplies and personnel to ships that are farther away from a friendly base.
Okay, that makes sense.
Plus, it can operate from all sorts of locations, not just aircraft carriers, but also smaller ships and even like improvised landing zones,
Interesting.
which is really important for what they call contested logistics.
Contested
Yeah.
logistics.
So basically, it's the ability to keep those supply lines open, even when the enemy's trying to disrupt them. Like, imagine you're trying to deliver a pizza,
Okay.
but someone's throwing obstacles in your path.
Yeah.
That's kind of what contested logistics is like.
Okay.
And the Osprey, with its ability to land and take off vertically, can like bypass those
So it's
obstacles.
a real game changer then. And
Exactly.
then on top of that, there's the fact that it can land in places the C-2A couldn't even dream of.
Right, like ships without those big flight decks or even those tiny remote islands that a normal plane could never land on.
Right. So it opens up a ton of new possibilities for the Navy.
Absolutely.
And Laird actually goes on to highlight the USS Gerald R. Ford, which is the Navy's newest aircraft carrier.
Okay, the Ford.
And he was saying how the Ford's design actually works really well with the CMV-22B.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Specifically, he mentions the Ford's island placement,
Okay.
which is at the end of the flight deck instead of the middle.
Right.
Now, that might seem like a small detail, but it actually makes a big difference for the Osprey. Well, by moving the island, they created more space for the Osprey to land and unload without getting in the way of other operations.
That's clever.
And on top of that, the Ford has a dedicated fuel capability right there in that area, so they can refuel super quickly.
Nice. So it's all very streamlined.
Exactly. So it's almost like they designed the Ford with the Osprey in mind.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
But Laird is also careful to point out that the Osprey's impact goes way beyond just logistics.
Okay.
He quotes Commander Fox, who's VRM-40's commanding officer, and Fox says, "The aircraft is very capable, and the pilots and air crewmen can do whatever mission we're tasked with for distributed maritime operation logistics."
Wow, that's a pretty bold statement.
It is, and it seems like Rear Admiral Verissimo agrees with that assessment.
Okay.
He actually specifically highlighted the Osprey's potential for personnel transport.
Okay.
Especially in, like, medical emergencies.
That's a really important point.
It is. You know, it's easy to get caught up in the offensive capabilities, but sometimes we forget about saving lives.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was talking about how important it is to get injured personnel to safety quickly and how the Osprey can land softly without needing a runway, which makes a huge difference in those situations.
That makes sense.
So it really is a reminder that military technology isn't always about, you know, blowing things up.
Right.
It's also about providing critical support and saving lives.
Absolutely.
And the Osprey seems to be really good at both.
Yeah, it does.
So we've seen how the Osprey is changing naval logistics.
Right.
And we've gotten a glimpse into the future of carrier operations.
It's pretty exciting stuff.
It is, but it also makes you wonder,
what
does all of this mean for the bigger picture?
Ooh, that is a good question.
Like, how will the Osprey shape future conflicts?
Yeah.
How will it influence international relations and the balance of power?
Those are just some big questions.
They are, and that's what we're going to be talking about next.
All right, I'm ready.
Okay.
Let's do it.
So let's dive in. Okay, so we were just talking about how the Osprey is really transforming naval logistics.
Right, yeah. But it's not just about, you know, moving beans and bullets from one ship to another.
Right, it's much bigger than that.
Exactly. It's about how this capability, like, fundamentally changes the way the Navy thinks about operating in the world, you know?
Absolutely. And I'm really curious about how the Osprey fits into this whole concept of distributed maritime operations.
DMO, right?
Yeah, DMO.
Yeah, that's a huge part of this. So basically, DMO is all about moving away from that traditional reliance on those big, you know, concentrated carrier strike groups.
Right, those massive formations.
Exactly. And instead, they're looking at a more, like, dispersed and networked force, you know, one that can operate over a much wider area and basically present a much tougher target for the enemy.
So instead of having one big target, you've got, like, a bunch of smaller, more mobile ones?
Exactly. It's like the difference between, you know, trying to punch a single heavy bag and trying to hit a swarm of bees.
I like that analogy.
Yeah. And the Osprey is, like, perfectly suited for this kind of warfare, you know? Well, its ability to operate from all these different ships and locations, plus its speed and range, they make it, like, super valuable for supporting these more spread out operations.
So it's like you're not putting all your eggs in one basket anymore.
Right, exactly. You're spreading them out, making yourself more agile, less vulnerable to, like, one big knockout punch.
That makes sense. But wouldn't that also make you more vulnerable in other ways?
How do you mean?
Well, if your forces are all spread out, wouldn't individual units be easier to pick off?
Yeah, that's a valid point. But the thing is with DMO, it's not just about scattering ships randomly across the ocean.
Okay.
It's about using really advanced communication and command control systems to maintain that cohesion, you know? So even though units might be operating hundreds of miles apart, they can still act as a unified force.
That's pretty impressive.
It is. Yeah. And the Osprey, with its ability to rapidly transport personnel, equipment, even weapon systems between those units, it plays a really key role in making that happen.
So it's like the glue that holds the whole thing together.
Exactly. It helps ensure that connectivity and responsiveness.
Yeah.
You know, that ability to react quickly.
Yeah.
To whatever pops up.
So we've talked about how this impacts the Navy's operational capabilities.
Right.
But how does this new approach, you know, enabled by the Osprey, change the way the U.S. Navy interacts with other countries?
Oh, that's a great question. And honestly, it's one that's being debated, like, all the way up to the Pentagon.
Really?
Yeah, because the Osprey, as part of this distributed force, it gives the U.S. Navy a lot more options for projecting power and influence around the world.
Like, what kind of options?
Well, let's say tensions are rising in a particular region, right?
Okay.
Instead of sending in a huge carrier strike group, which could be seen as, like, provocative.
Right. Could escalate things.
Exactly. They could use Ospreys to quickly deploy Marines to strategic locations.
You know,
bolster the defenses of allies, conduct reconnaissance missions, things like that.
So it's a more, like, tailored response.
Exactly. You can calibrate the level of force to the situation, you know?
Right. So you're not always swinging a sledgehammer.
Right. Sometimes you need a scalpel.
I see. So it's almost like the Osprey is giving the Navy a new set of diplomatic tools.
Yeah, I like that. A way to influence events without always resorting to like overwhelming force.
That makes sense.
It's really interesting when you think about it, you know.
It is because we often think of military technology as purely offensive or defensive,
Right.
but in this case, it's also about shaping perceptions and deterring aggression without necessarily firing a shot.
Exactly. It's a whole new dimension of naval power.
This is all fascinating stuff.
It is.
But I do want to address something we haven't really talked about yet.
What's that?
The fact that not everyone is sold on the Osprey.
Right. It's had its share of critics over the years.
Exactly. People have pointed to its cost, its complexity, even its safety record. So how do you respond to those concerns?
Well, look, it's definitely true that the Osprey is a very sophisticated and expensive piece of equipment,
Right.
but its capabilities are pretty unique, you
Yeah.
know? And its ability to perform missions that no other aircraft can do that has to be factored in.
Right. It's not just about the sticker price.
Exactly. And as for the safety record, it's actually gotten much better over time.
So it's a matter of weighing the risks and benefits.
Right. And when you look at the Osprey's potential to like completely change how naval operations are conducted, I think the benefits outweigh those risks.
So we've talked about the Osprey's role in contested logistics, its impact on DMO, and how it might even be changing the face of international relations.
It's a pretty impressive resume for one aircraft.
It is, but there's one more piece of the puzzle I want to explore.
Okay, what's that?
The human element. You know, we focused a lot on the technology,
Right.
but what about the people who actually operate and maintain these aircraft?
Yeah, that's a crucial part of the story.
How are they adapting to this new era of naval warfare? All right, so we've been talking a lot about the Osprey's impact on strategy and technology.
Yeah, kind of the big picture stuff.
But it's easy to forget about the human element, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the day, it's those sailors and marines, you know, the ones actually flying these things, fixing them, supporting the missions.
Exactly. How is this new era of naval warfare, with its emphasis on distributed operations and, you know, all this advanced technology, how is that affecting the people who are actually operating these Ospreys?
Well, one thing Laird really emphasizes is the need for adaptability
Okay.
and cross-platform expertise.
So what does that mean, like, practically speaking?
It means Osprey crews can't just be experts in their own aircraft, you know?
Right.
They have to understand how the Osprey fits into the whole bigger picture.
Okay.
How to work with other units, whether it's a destroyer, a submarine, a Marine Corps unit ashore.
I see.
So it's not just about being a specialist anymore.
Right. It's about being more well-rounded.
Exactly. And that requires a different kind of training,
Okay.
one that really stresses teamwork communication. You know, being able to think on your feet.
Because things can change really fast out there. So it sounds like the Osprey is kind of a microcosm of this larger shift happening within the Navy.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it, you know.
This move towards a more networked and agile force.
Right. And it's not just the operators either.
Okay.
The maintainers, the logisticians, the support personnel. Everyone involved with the Osprey needs to be on board with this new way of thinking.
I bet that's a pretty big
It
challenge.
is. It's a big cultural shift.
Going from the old way of doing things to this new, more dynamic approach.
Right. But Laird seems to think that the Navy is handling it well.
Oh, good.
You know, they're investing in training programs, encouraging innovation, really empowering their people to take ownership of their roles.
That's great to hear.
Yeah, it's really encouraging.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive,
We have.
from the nuts and bolts of contested logistics to the big strategic picture.
And everything in between.
It's clear that the Osprey is more than just a new aircraft.
Right. It's like a symbol of this whole new era in naval aviation.
So as we wrap things up, is there one key takeaway you want our listeners to remember?
I think the big thing is that we're seeing a real transformation in naval power, driven by technology and a changing world.
Right.
And the Osprey, with speed, versatility, adaptability, it's at the forefront of that transformation.
I think that's a great way to put it.
And I think it gives our listeners a lot to think about, you know?
Absolutely, as they follow the evolution of naval aviation.
Exactly. It's an exciting time to be watching this all unfold.
Well, it's been a fantastic discussion.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Anytime.
And for our listeners out there, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep into the world of knowledge and discovery.